Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the conference call for the Wilson Sons Limited's third quarter 2017 results. Today with us, we have Mr. Cesar Bayão, CEO of Operations in Brazil, Mr. Arnaldo Cobucci, CEO of Maritime Services, Mr. Sergio Fischer, COO of Port Terminals and Logistics Services, and Mr. Fernando Salek, CFO of the Brazilian Subsidiaries and Investor Relations. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded, and we will have simultaneous translation for those who wish to listen to the English version. During the company's presentation, all participants will be connected in a listen-only mode. Then, we will begin the question and answer session for industry analysts. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that page 2 of the presentation contains the usual forward-looking statements for your reference. Now, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fernando Salek. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our results conference call for the third quarter of 2017. Let's start with slide 3. Here, I present the group's safety performance between 2010 and 2017 with the lost time injury frequency rate. In this period, we have a 97% reduction in the rate, reaching a historical record of 0.2 lost time injuries per 1 million man hours worked, which demonstrates our commitment to safety in all our operations. In addition to the safety of our employees, since the accident prevention factor, or FAP, came into force in 2010, the health and safety improvements in the company have generated reductions of 3.6 million BRL in social security costs, which benefits all stakeholders. Turning to slide 4. Here, we summarize our consolidated results. Considering the offshore vessels joint venture, the group's pro forma net revenue amounted to $149.5 million in the quarter. Compared to the third quarter of 2016, we had a 3.4% increase, mainly driven by improved overall volumes and warehousing revenues from container terminals. EBITDA was 3.6% higher than in the third quarter of 2016 as a result of the more profitable operational mix across both terminals. This has contributed to improved margins. The company's pro forma CapEx reduced substantially compared to the third quarter of 2016, as the company recently concluded a significant investment cycle of capacity expansion. Capital expenditure was mainly concentrated in the maintenance of operations. We now move to slide number 5. This slide presents a summary of the quarterly highlights by business unit. As I said before, container terminal results were mainly driven by an increase of overall volumes and warehousing revenues. EBITDA benefited from an improved revenue mix with increased import warehousing volumes. For Brasco, as expected, the challenging environment in the oil and gas sector created a negative impact to the results this quarter. Improved layup operations only partially offset the decline in vessel turnarounds. In logistics, we had an improvement in bonded warehousing revenues, although margins remained weak given the macroeconomic backdrop. In the towage business, revenues from harbor maneuvers were benefited by a better average price and handling of larger vessels, which offset the decrease of special operations. Shipyard revenues and EBITDA decreased against the comparative. This reflects a reduced third-party shipbuilding activity. After the quarter end, the company delivered SST Arua to a third party, the second tugboat of a total order of 4 vessels. In the offshore vessels business, days in operation decreased this quarter, negatively impacted by the temporary suspension of PSVs Skua and Bigua, commencing in mid-September. Following on to slide number 6. On this slide, I present the historical results since 2006, showing a solid EBITDA evolution and a positive accumulated 9-month period for 2017. Regarding the composition of EBITDA, the towage and container terminals businesses together account for 81%, which reflects the reduced exposure to the oil and gas sector. Moving to slide 7. On this slide, we highlight the company's CapEx reduction, reflecting the conclusion of a significant investment cycle for capacity expansion in almost all our units, as we had anticipated before. And the guidance of CapEx for the next 2 years, basically composed of sustaining CapEx and Ticon Salvador terminals expansion. The CapEx amount for Salvador's expansion in 2018 will depend on the start date of the civil works, which in turn is subject to completion of the environmental licensing process. Following to slide number 8. On this slide, we can see some of our liquidity and leverage ratios. The metrics show that net debt over EBITDA ratio decreased slightly compared to the previous quarter. All liquidity ratios remain strong. There was an increase in cash as a result of the positive operational cash flow and the seasonality. We now move on to slide number 9. On this slide, we outline the operating data registered in October for container terminals, towage, and offshore vessel businesses. In October, the container terminals moved a total record of 101,500 TEUs. In Rio Grande, overall volumes increased by 12.7%, confirming the improved operational mix seen in the first half. Imports increased 12.1%, and this was driven by spare parts and steel products. Exports grew 9.8% with higher volumes of tobacco, wood, and rice. Cabotage had an increase of 50.3%, with a highlight being the rice and resins segments. Transshipment volumes and container shifting grew 13.7%, with the Santa Clara Inland Waterway service strongly contributing. In Salvador, overall volumes increased 9.3% against the comparative. Exports were in line with higher volumes of tires and ores. Import volumes grew 8%. Positively impacted by weaker volumes of chemicals, rubber, and derivatives. Cabotage volumes grew by 38.9%, also significant, with good performance of polymers and rice segments. Transshipment volumes and container shifting increased 14.6%. In the towage business, the number of maneuvers remained in line with the comparative period. In the offshore vessels business, there was a decrease of days in operation, negatively impacted by the temporary suspension of PSVs Skua and Bigua, commencing in mid-September, and also the vessels Atoba, Pelicano, Petrel, and Fulmar in October.
The presentation ends here, and I would like to invite you to the Q&A session. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the Q&A session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star one. If you would like to remove your question from the queue, dial star two. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please dial star one. Our first question comes from Mr. Samuel Alves from BTG Pactual. Thank you and good morning. My question about the towage segment is if you could tell us a bit about what is your competition in this segment. We've seen that margins have gone down also due to exchange reasons, but if you could tell us a bit more about what the pricing is like in this segment and if you are seeing more price pressures in the future. I think that would be very helpful. Thank you. Samuel, this is Arnaldo speaking. What we've seen so far, specifically in the third quarter of this year, is closely related to the reduction in the special operations sector. Obviously, we have some competition, but normal operation in ports has been in line in terms of volume with previous marks, and it has actually grown in price in the third quarter. We will try further on to be more competitive with more tugboats in ports, so that will take place, and we are not expecting a significant change, but it hasn't happened so far. Great, thank you. Our next question comes from Rod Bida, Cantor.
Good morning, everyone. Three questions, please. The first question, just regarding the container terminals and the October operational data, what's driving the big improvement in volumes? Is this due to an improvement in the economy generally, or are there one-off factors, or was October 2016 particularly weak? The second question, just on the issue of the payroll tax relief, is the measure to restore this relief now permanent, or should we factor in this extra charge for future years? And then the third question, just on the offshore support vessels. I've been looking at the most recent charter schedule, and if I'm correct, there are now no recharterings due in 2018. Is that correct? So no new contracts to be signed in 2018. Thank you.
Hi, Rob. This is Cesar Bayon. To answer your first question on the container volumes, this was recently disclosed in October this year. Volumes were very good, and an important sign from this volume is that full containers have also gone up very significantly. So when we compare October 2016, October 2016 was normal. It was not a bad month. So this is an exciting level of growth, and it's also a sign that the Brazilian economy is recovering. This volume had very good margins because we transported a lot of full containers, which gives us better margins. I'm going to let Fernando answer your second question. Rob, your question on payroll tax, there was a movement in the middle of this year because of payroll and reducing some of the taxes from payroll. And this was interrupted in July only. To speak about 2018, now we have a legislation that will maintain that reduced tax, but there have been movements in the government, in Congress specifically, so that from January 2018, they will reinstate payroll taxes. So the legislation so far still has no taxes on payroll, but the expectation due to political reasons is that these taxes may be reinstated from 2018. Rob, could you please repeat your third question on offshore vessels?
Sure. So I just want to check if you now have any renegotiations to conduct in 2018, because I think your later schedule now suggests that you don't.
Rob, this is Arnaldo. We do not have any renegotiations scheduled, but we are taking part in some bids. We have recently won a bid for a shallow dive vessel, and this operation should start with two vessels in the second quarter of 2018. We're well positioned in another bid from Petrobras. It will be for an oil spill response vessel, and we have received the award, but we have not yet gone through final contracting. So there are some possibilities of contracts for the vessels that are laid out at the moment for next year. Obviously, the rates are a bit more pressured because the market has a very low level of demand right now.
Great. I thank you very much, and have a good day, everyone.
The next questions were sent via webcast. So we have a question from Rodrigo Glad, and the question is the company interested in Terminal 2 in Pecém? What would be the effect of having this new station? This question came from Rodrigo Glad via webcast. I'm going to let Mr. Fischer answer. We always analyze container terminals, and we definitely will analyze this swap. So we will analyze it. Of course, if we have another swap terminal, this will affect Roscoe. There's no way that it wouldn't, because it will be another area for container storage. That's it. As a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please dial star one. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please dial star one. We've received another question via webcast from André from Fundamenta. His question is, good morning. I would like to know more about the towage segment. What is the company's strategy for freight vessels in the next year? So will you maintain some of that of some of those vessels or replace them for your own vessels? Excuse me, this was the leased fleet. André, my answer is right now we don't have any leased tugboats from any third parties. What we have right now are one-off leases to supply for specific demands in certain ports during peak periods. So sometimes we do lease tugboats per maneuver for specific maneuvers whenever our vessels are fully occupied. This will continue. This is how the market is organized. Of course, the more efficient we are, the better. This is what we always seek. So we would like to have the least number of leases possible, but it's always a necessity. Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please dial *1. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please dial *1. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Cesar Bayon to proceed with his closing remarks. Please go ahead, sir. I'd like to thank you all for listening in to our results conference call this third quarter. I'd also like to take this chance to once again thank our staff for their contribution in producing this solid result. Thank you and have a good day. This concludes the Wilson Sons conference call for today. Thank you very much and have a good day.